Never gave up on me. You were my testimony.
Yeah.
Turn us down.
I think they wanted us to hear us from heaven. It's totally hot. I just wanted to say, you know, God is just so good. No matter where we are, what our week has been like, you know, there's just, you can see God's sightings all week long if you're looking for them. It could be a bird in the air, it could be the sunset, it could be anything. And, you know, this week I had a special little blessing. My little grandson's up here, so I'm a little bit happier. And, you know, God is just so good to us all the time. And I hope your guys' week has just been as good as ours. And I want to take this moment this morning to forget about the things that have been rough this week and just remember that God is always with us no matter where we are. And no matter what we face, we're never alone.
Amen.
But he's greater than anything that we go through. So join us this morning. You ready?
I'm ready.
Marty's got that too.
I'm not right, but that's alright, 'cause I hear a your doubt, bring your fears, bring your hurt, bring your tears. There'll be no condemnation here. You are holy, righteous, and redeemed. And every time I fall, there'll be those who will call me a mistake. Well, that's okay, 'cause I hear a voice and he calls me redeemed. When others say I'll never be enough, and greater is the one living inside of me than he who is living in the world. In the world. In the world. And greater is the one living inside of me than he who is living in the world.
Get ready, it gets too fast.
Says that it doesn't matter, 'cause the cross already won the war. I'm learning to run freely, understanding just how he sees me, and it makes me love him more and more.
Has already won, you know, and sometimes we feel defeated, but when we remember that the cross already won, mm-hmm. and we Amen. Know who's fighting for us, right?
Amen. Hey, Marcus, let's switch these out, so if you'll, all right, well, let's keep moving. We're a little light, we're missing some people today, so if you see somebody missing that's not typically here, or that is typically here, rather, you know what I mean. But that, I know. But if you see somebody missing, reach out to them this week and say, "Hey, we miss you at church," and let them know that we appreciate them and we miss them, and we would love to have them here, praising and worshiping with us. Amen. Amen. Well, let's keep moving. 2 Peter 3:18 is where our scripture comes from. Read along with me. Rather, you must grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. All glory to him, both now and forever. Amen. Well, let's keep going. We're going to sing, "Open the Eyes of My Heart, Lord."
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart, I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart, I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Lord, open the eyes of my heart.
This time. If I could have a couple ushers come forward. Artie. All right, well, let's pray. Father, thank you so much for our time together, and as we continue in our praise, Father, we just pray that you'll continue to be here and at work on our behalf, Father. And may all that we give go towards furthering your kingdom and glorifying your name. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you.
Amen. Such a beautiful song. It's, you know, we're all in different places, but God only wants the same thing from each and every one of us, and that's just giving ourselves to Him, and He can do the rest. Amen. If you'll stand with me as we move into our prayer song, we're going to sing Holy Spirit, You Are Welcome Here. So sing along, if you will.
There's nothing worth more that could ever come close. Nothing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence, Lord. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of loves, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. Your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, You are welcome. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. To be overcome by Your presence, Lord. Worth more that could ever come close. Nothing can compare. You're our living hope.
Your presence, Lord.
I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of loves, where my heart becomes free
and my shame is
undone. Your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, You are welcome. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. To be overcome
by Your presence, Lord. Your
let us become more aware of Your presence. Let us experience the glory of Your goodness. Let us become more aware
of Your presence. Let us experience the glory of Your goodness.
Glory of Your goodness. Let us become more aware of Your presence. God is what our hearts long for, to be overcome by your presence, Lord.
Let us pray. Father, we thank you so much that you gifted us with your Spirit, Father. And so as we continue in our time together, Father, we just want to thank you for being with us, Father, and working amongst us. But Father, we can't thank you enough for how you continue to work in our lives, ministering to us and to others. So Father, we just pray that you will continue to move and work, Father, in a special way today. Father, our hearts are heavy in one way or another, and so we're lifting those to you today, Father. You know what's on our hearts, and so we're just praying that you will move and work in those situations as well. Father, I pray that we never fail to honor and glorify you, and so, Father, as we begin our new series today, Father, we just pray that the words, the truth in your word, Father, will weigh heavy on our hearts, Father, that if change is needed, Father, it will take place. And so we thank you and we praise you for all that you've done and all you're about to do, Father. And we just pray that you continue to move and work on the behalf of your children. And so, Father, may we never fail to honor and glorify you in all that we say and do. We ask all this in the powerful name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Well, go ahead and take a seat, and we're going to get started. As always, we have a lot of ground to cover, and I don't want to keep you here too late. So, as you can see, we're going to share in the elements today as well. So, well, thank God that, you know, he gave us that opportunity, you know, to help bring us back and remember what it is he did for us. And so, my question to you today is, how do you become spiritually mature? Well, no. There's many ways, and we could all probably name off a few. Maybe get better in our prayer life, you know, get in the Word, come to church, you know, hang out with Christian friends. I mean, the list goes on. And so we could all probably name a thing or two about how we could become more spiritually mature. And so today we're going to focus on intimacy. That's where we're going to kind of hang our hat and kind of chill out today. And so, but before we do, I have a few questions. Survey says, okay, when do we mature in certain areas of our life? So here are a few questions to kind of get your mindset and thinking. And so, when do you peak in your ability to learn a new language? As a baby? Okay. Anybody else? Anybody got a guess? You're close. You're close. 7 to 10 years old. 7 to 10 years old. How about at what age do you peak in your ability to remember faces? Nobody? 30. 30. 30. When do you peak at your ability to remember names? Twenty-two. At what age do you peak in the understanding of people's emotions? What is it? Seven? No. 60. At what age do you peak in your vocabulary? 67. At what age do you peak in your happiness with your body? 40? Seventy-four. Now I just made these up. Don't believe a word I said. No, I'm kidding. I believe it or not, I went online and looked some of this stuff up. And that's what I come up with. So, which is really interesting because that last question, at what age do you peak in your happiness with your body? And it really is pretty interesting because that means the majority of us spend the majority of our life unhappy. Now, are we totally unhappy? No. No, we're not. But that means that the majority of us spend the majority of our life unhappy in some way or another. Maybe not unhappily entirely, but at least unhappy nonetheless. And so that means it isn't until we reach our mid-70s that we aren't happy with the body God gifted us with. Isn't that crazy? I mean, we really do have so much to be thankful for. I think for the most part, most of us could probably get up and wander around at free will. You know, we may not have the exact facial features or body features, you know, because I would have a six pack and I'd be carrying missiles and you know what I mean? You know, I would, but I'm not. I love donuts, and that's probably my downfall. That's probably doing it to me there. But you know, it's unfortunate because most of us can really sit back and say, you know what, you know, God, even though it's not exactly the way I would have sketched my body out, but thank you. Thank you for what you've given me because I have so many abilities. And then there are others that don't have those abilities, but yet still they have abilities that maybe somebody else doesn't have. And so we've always got something to be thankful for. And I try and my best to keep the mindset that somebody has always got it worse than I do. Not that that's a good thing. Not that it's a good thing. But it just reminds you that you're not as worse off as you might think. And so, and that can kind of stretch across your life in general, you know, whether it's a physical or financial or, you know, anything. Really, you can really apply it to any part of your life because there's always somebody that's got it worse than you. There's always somebody in a position worse than you are. And so we should really be thankful for where God has got us because God's word reminds us that we should be thankful in all things. Even in the rough spots, we should be thankful. And so it's just a reminder of that. And so maybe that's because that's the age we begin to understand that what is on the outside is only temporary. And what is on the inside is eternal. And so maybe, just maybe, we begin to grab that at that age. You know, this, it's only temporary. It's only temporary. And even though, you know, whatever age span you live, you know, it could be 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, 100, whatever. That little bit of time is nothing compared to eternity. Nothing compared to eternity. And we can also walk away knowing that we've got something better coming because God's word also reminds us that there's no more aches and pains and crying and suffering. And so we've got a glorious day to look forward to. And so what's the point in being so unhappy in this short amount of time that we have here? Despite the difficult days we face. And sometimes the difficult days seem to run back to back to back. But we have a God that says he will never leave us or forsake us at any point. And so we can have that assurance in knowing that God's got our back. He's there, even though it may seem like we're weathering storm after storm after storm. But we have confidence in knowing that God is there and He's at work on our behalf. Because those storms produce something in us. And they aren't meant to produce bitterness. However, they do sometimes. But God says, thank me in these storms because I am creating something in you that you can grow from. We can learn something in every situation we're in if we just sit back and open our eyes to it and ask God to reveal what's happening. So maybe we just reached the point where we begin to understand what Paul was teaching us in 2 Corinthians 4:16. So what Paul is saying here in this scripture is outwardly, we're just wasting away. Outwardly, we're just wasting away. It's almost like what happens to a banana. You go buy bananas and they're nice and green and then they turn to a nice yellow and then they eventually turn into brown and mush and you know, they just waste away if you don't eat them. And that's kind of similar to what's happened here. You know, we might be wasting away, but there is some good in there, and we might as well take and make use of it while it's here. Amen? It's a downhill slide, but inwardly, we are being renewed day by day. We are being renewed day by day. Now, we can do a lot of things to make ourselves look better on the outside. You know, women can get up and put their makeup on and do their hair. And the guys can trim and shave, and we can all put nice clothes on and stuff. And so we can kind of doctor up the outside a little bit. We can kind of doctor it up a little bit. But the fact still remains, we are wasting away. And eventually we'll be at that 74, 84, 104, whatever it is God's taking you to. And that's okay. There's nothing wrong with doing all that stuff. Don't get me wrong. Because we all want to look good, right? I mean, not really that we have anybody to impress, but it's a confidence builder, is it not? And so physically we're dying, but inside we're being renewed day after day. And so that should mean that we're growing and maturing spiritually. We should be growing maturely, spiritually, day in and day out, because God renews us day in and day out. And so every day we take on something new. God does His work renewing us day in and day out. And so we're left with this choice to choose or not to choose to grow spiritually. We have that choice. Day in and day out, God is there renewing us. Do we want to take the day off? Or do we want to keep at it and continue to grow and grow and renew like God says we can? Day in and day out, because that's what God is saying here. He says, I will renew you every day. Even though our physical bodies are showing their age, the aches and pains and things, inside we're being renewed day by day. And God wants us to understand that even though you can see your physical body wasting away, He's given you a gift of renewal inside. He's given you that gift of renewal. And so here's probably the best part about that. You never have to peak in your spiritual growth. You never have to peak. You know, we may peak. You know, we just went through these things. At what age do we learn a new language and remembering faces and stuff like that? And you know, per the studies that they've done, you know, there's a peak. There's a peak in those statistics. And so you may peak there, But in your spiritual growth, there is no peak. Because God will continue to renew you day in and day out. There's never a plateau unless you allow it. God just continues to move and work. So who knows, maybe you're sitting here feeling like your peak has already happened spiritually. But I want to assure you today that's not the case. God can always take you higher. Maybe you felt like you were closer to God in the past. I've been there. I'll stand here and say, I remember a time in my life where I didn't really feel like I could be any closer to God. I mean, there was a time in my life, not saying that I'm not there now, but what I'm saying is I went through a season. I remember, you know, I can't tell you the exact date, but I remember we were living on Holmesburg Tampico Road out there in the country house. And I just remember laying on the floor one day. I was reading my Bible. I was just laying there reading, and I just like had this overwhelming sense of, man, I just feeling so close to God, and God was working in our lives. You know, we had our fair share of struggles too, but there was a time when I just felt like God was sitting right here beside me, and time has passed, and you know, like everybody, I've seen a storm or two, and all of a sudden you're like, I'm not up on that mountain anymore. God, where are you? Walking through the valley. You know, they all come. You know, the valleys come. The mountaintops come. You know, and we all see them. We all see them. But maybe you're feeling that way. Maybe your time has passed. You know? You were closer to God at one time. Or you prayed more, or maybe you attended church service more or other Christian events, that kind of thing. And so you were more active and attending church or Christian activities. Or maybe your prayer life itself. Maybe you can say, well, you know, I used to pray a lot more, but not so much anymore. It's not too late. It's not too late. And so maybe something has changed in your life and you just feel like there's nothing more for you. Maybe you feel like you've kind of reached the stop sign, and instead of being a four-way stop sign, it's a one-way and there's no right or left. And the road in front of you is blocked. And so you're just like, I don't know what to do. But I'm telling you, God is here and God's ready to work in your life. He's as close as he's ever been because he's never left. And so maybe there's a time when you felt like God was speaking to you more than he is now. Maybe there's a time. You know, at one time I could probably say the same thing. You know, maybe I felt like I was hearing God more often, and then it went away, and then boom, it's back again, and stuff like that. And I can't really explain it. Maybe it's a growing season. Maybe that's exactly what it is. You know, because maybe when God says, we'll see you this, we'll see you through this, but you can always learn something through it. And so we can always learn in our faith and seek in God, you know, because when we see those tough days, in hopes that it reminds you to go back to God and say, you know what, God, I'm struggling here today, but I know if I give it to you, you've got it. Because his word reminds us that his yoke is lighter, amen? But there is good news, and it doesn't always have to be that way. So because of the cross, Jesus kicked open the door, and you can be as spiritual as you want to be. You can be as spiritual as you want to be. You can be as close to God as you want to be. And here's the great thing. It doesn't depend on your past. It doesn't depend on your past. What you've done, where you've been, none of that plays into the factor of how close you can be to God. It doesn't matter. Because God's word also reminds us that He will cast our sins as far as the east is from the west, never to be remembered again. And so if you've went to God and repented, He has given you that promise. He has given you that promise to cast them away, never to be remembered. And so what you've done or where you've been has no bearing on how close you can be to God, because it doesn't matter. It just doesn't matter. None of those things matter. What does matter is how close you want to be to God. That's what matters. Because if you have a desire, if you want something, what do you typically do? Let's close the door on the spirituality for a second. Let's go to the financial realm. New watch, new phone, new car, new house. If you want something, what do? You make it happen. Maybe you've already got the money in the bank, but you're saying, let's get in the car and let's go get it. You make it happen. Now let's open the door of spirituality back up here. You want to be closer to God? What do? You make it happen. You get in your Bible more. You pray more. You go to church and events and stuff like that. You make it happen. And it doesn't have to happen in church. You can seek God at home, pray. You can go to the coffee shop, read a devotion, have some coffee. But what I'm saying is, if you want it, you get it. And so if you have a desire to be closer to God, you will make it happen. You will make it happen. And so God sent out open invitation. Come one, come all. You have an open invitation. If you want it, you got it. Come one, come all. And God's word reminds us, seek me and you shall find me. Seek me and you'll find me. And so if you want it, you will get it. It doesn't depend on how much money you have in the bank or whether or not your car will make it there. If you want it, you got it. Seek me and you'll find me. And so the question is, what is spiritual maturity and how do we get it? We've kind of answered that, have we not? Spiritual maturity is growing. Growing in what God has freely given you. A relationship with Him. And it has no ends. And so I think we need to remember that spiritual maturity is different for everyone because we all start in a different place. And that's okay. That's okay. But spiritual maturity is different for everybody. Just like we can, well, if we didn't have stained glass windows, we could look out the window and maybe catch a glimpse of a tree, maybe go to a park, take a walk. I think a tree is a good representation or an illustration of what we're talking about here, because we can go, let's say we're taking a stroll through the park and we come upon a tree and it's a little tree, and some of the parks, and even people do it at home, They put those plastic pipes around the base of the tree, and sometimes you can even see some guidelines tethered around a tree to hold it up steady. Sometimes we're like that in our spiritual maturity. Sometimes we need that guideline attached to us. And that guideline could look like maybe a close friend, a buddy, coworker, anybody really that's on the same side, you know, encouraging you to grow in your spiritual maturity. But then we can walk a little further and we can see this huge tree, huge tree. And so that could be a more seasoned Christian, if you will. Somebody that's been going to church for a while and they're in the Bible and they're this, that, the other. And so our walks look different. Our spiritual maturity is different, and that's okay. But one thing is for sure, whether you're the little tree that's got the guidelines hooked up to it, or whether you're the big oak tree standing strong and firm, God has more for you. He has more. And I didn't think about this, but does a tree ever stop growing? I don't know. I just thought of that. Does a tree ever stop growing? Nor should we. Nor should we. We should not stop growing spiritually until we breathe our last breath. God calls us home. I mean, it makes sense. I mean, even if it's just a little bit. You looked it up? What's it say? Does it? Okay, so they stop growing. Okay. So the answer is no, they don't stop growing. But they do stop growing in height. But that's okay. But that's okay. Yeah. And so we as Christians can look in many different ways, much like the trees do as well. You know, and we should never stop growing in our spiritual maturity. Never. We don't want to sit stagnant, because what happens? Bless you. Yeah. When you sit stagnant, bad things take place. Things get ugly, smelly. In Ephesians 2, 8, 9, God's word reminds us that it is by grace you have been saved through faith. By grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, so that no one can boast. No one can boast. And so, if you're the little tree with the tethers, or you're the big oak tree, none of us can take credit for that. We cannot take credit for it. That is a gift given by God. It is a gift. Not a one of us worked for it. It was given by God. And so no one can boast. He put us on a level playing field. And so not one of us can stand here and say that we did this on our own. We can't. And we can't stand here and say, I did it by myself. Because it's all because of what God did in and through us. No one can take credit for what Christ done. But our growth part, we have to do something there. So as we continue in our journey of spiritual maturity, it's grace you can't learn that either. But it does require an effort. It does require an effort. Earning is an attitude, effort is an action. And so, in moving closer and working our way into spiritual maturity, it requires effort on our part. Just like hopping in the car and going and getting whatever it is your little heart desired, you have to put effort into your spiritual maturity. It doesn't just plant and grow like the tree does. You have to put effort into it. And that means coming to church, getting in your Bible, praying. You have to be intentional. And put some effort into it. And so where do you put your effort in? And so let's take a look at three things here real quick. Spiritual intimacy, which is where we're at today. Biblical knowledge. And holy obedience. These are a package deal. And so you take one, you take all. much like God's Word. You can't pick and choose in the Bible what scriptures you want to obey and what scriptures you don't want to obey. The Bible is a package deal. Take it all or don't take any. Package deal. And so these three things are markers of spiritual maturity. And so we are in talking about the spiritual intimacy. And so when I say spiritual intimacy, I want you to think about a relationship. Think about a relationship. More specific, I want you to think about your relationship with God. And so, with God in mind, think about spiritual intimacy. And kind of let that roll around in your mind. And what's coming to mind a little bit. And so let's explore this a little bit. And that's what Jesus came here. In John chapter 17, he prayed, "I have come so that they would know you, so that others would have life and they would know you." Okay? And so John was praying that others would know him, God, much like John did. So that you would know him and a life-giving, changing spiritual maturity would take place in your life, in my life. God desires to have that relationship with you. An intimate relationship, the life-giving, life-changing relationship. That's God's desire. It's not to go out and jump in the car and grab that new watch or that food or whatever we want. God's desire is to have a life-giving, life-changing, intimate relationship with you. And so there's three things I want to share with you real quick. First one is God is a person. God teaches that God is triune. God the Father, God the Spirit, God the Holy Spirit. Or God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Triune. Three in one. And so what that means is three in one persons. And what we're saying here when we say God is a person is God has a personality. Now, he did send his son, you know. He walked on the earth. He was a flesh. He did do that. But what we're talking about here today is God has a personality. And when we say he's a person, we're saying that God thinks, he desires, he suffers, he has emotions. God's word tells us that he's a jealous God. And so God isn't just some abstract idea, a made-up idea somebody put up there in heaven. That's not what God is. We're made in his image. We've been made by him, for him, and he wants a relationship with us. We've been made by him, for him, and he wants a relationship with you. And God wants to be known by you. We all know God. We can say, "Ah, God exists. God's in heaven." But there's so much more to God. So much more. God wants to be first, and not just first in your life, but the most important in your life. The most important. And so that brings us to the second thing. God wants to be known. God wants to be known by you. And so John was praying in there that we would experience God the way that John did. And God wants to be known by you. That's his desire. Because why would you make something for your purpose to not know it? Doesn't make sense. And so God wants to be known by you. He wants a relationship. He wants to love you. He wants to provide for you. He wants to be known by you. He wants to be the uno, number one. He wants you to understand what he thinks about you. And we've covered this in some of our past, in some of our past Sundays. Because sometimes we can have a jaded look on ourselves, if you will. We don't see ourselves as worthy or capable or loved or forgiven. There's many more. Sometimes we don't see ourselves like God sees us. And just like Gideon didn't. He came up on Gideon and said, "You mighty warrior." He didn't feel that way about himself. He had no idea what was in store for him. No idea. And if I was to guess, if we were to do the same thing, to get in there and get to know God like he wants us to know him, it would be amazing what God would do through you and I. It would be amazing. Because we can read through the Bible and see story after story about how God changed things. In that story alone, in the story of Gideon, what did he do? He changed a nation. He changed a nation. And so what is God waiting to do through you? Maybe touch a block in a certain city? Who knows? Maybe you'll be on a platform, on a stage, sharing God's word. You don't never know where God's taking you. And age isn't a factor. Age isn't a factor because God doesn't stop using you because you have grown too old. And the same is true for being young. It's amazing how God uses young people. It's amazing. I just seen a video on Facebook last week or whatever. It was the cutest thing I've ever seen. It was this little kid. He couldn't have been more than 3 or 4 or something. And he was going through the alphabet. You see that? And well, some of it was scripture, but yeah. I mean, it was all biblical related. And so this kid, this wee little tyke, was just going through A, B, C, D, E, F, and he was just spouting off things, all biblical related, and it matched the alphabet. You know, it's amazing. You know, God can use you at wherever you are. From 2 to 100, it doesn't matter. God has got something for you. Here's kind of the awesome thing, too. He won't force you to seek him. Maybe you've been a boss somewhere or something. And have you ever had to force somebody to do something? They're there to work anyway. But for whatever reason, they don't want to do the job. And so you kind of have to pull rank. I mean, maybe you've did it in the military or something, Sheila. I know we got some military people, you know. And sometimes you just say, look, it's your job, do it. Well, God doesn't pull rank on you. We're made for him. He desires that relationship, but he's not going to force himself on you. He won't. It is a choice he gives freely for you and I. Could you imagine forcing somebody to love you? How do you think that would work out? Probably not well. Probably not well. And so if God was to force himself on us, we would probably be like little kids and rebel. And so he doesn't force himself on us. He wants you to have that desire in your heart to know him and to love him on your own. He wants you to want that. We have all probably found ourselves in a position where we wanted to be in somebody's life, but it just wasn't happening. It just wasn't happening. Okay, we'll wrap up. We'll wrap up. It's just so much more. Okay, so here's this. I'll wrap it up. Promise. So the third thing, real quick, okay? The third thing. Knowing requires deliberate effort and time. Deliberate effort and time, okay? If you want to grow in spiritual intimacy, it requires deliberate effort and time. In the beginning of a relationship, there's kind of the intro stage. You kind of introduce yourself to each other. You get to know each other. And then the invitation comes. That's the second part of it. That's the second phase. The invitation comes. And so You become more familiar with each other and enjoying your time. And then there's the growth. That's the third part, the growth part. And so that's kind of like our walk with Christ. We kind of have the intro part. We get to know God and we're saying, oh, this, you're doing good things in my life, God. And so we take it up one step further and it's an invitation and we accept Christ and our relationship begins its maturity. And then we hit the growth stage, and it's just We bloom from there. We bloom from there. Okay? And so, in Matthew 9, in Jesus' invitation to us is two words, follow me. When Jesus called his disciples, when Jesus calls us, the invitation is follow me. That's what he did to his disciples. He wanted to say, come on, let's go. Follow me. And so that's what Jesus is saying to you today. He's saying, come on, let's go. There's so much more to be done out there. And so that was kind of the intro there. That was kind of the intro there. And look at the stories and what they accomplished. They went out, and next thing you know, the disciples were healing people, and they're with God, and great things are happening, and just they blossomed. And so it kind of went from the intro to the invitation, and then they just... And that's what God wants to do in your life. That's what God wants to do in your life. Amen. And so I want to encourage you today to take that time, the deliberate time, and put the effort in. Be intentional. Give yourself to God. Grow in that spiritual maturity like He wants to share with you. Okay? And so real quick, we'll make this real quick. We're going to have communion. We're not going to rush this, okay? But let's take a minute. Let's take a minute and ready our hearts. And think about the intimacy we just talked about. Think about the intimacy that God desires from you. And this is a time for us to reflect, because God's word says, do this in remembrance of me. And so what exactly did God do for you? First and foremost, he did the same thing for everybody. And that's saved our souls. But it goes far beyond that. And so think about what God has done for you. Ready your heart. Ask God to prepare you to take the elements, to forgive you of the sins you're aware of, the sins you're unaware of. Amen? So let's take a moment of silence, and I'll pray us into the communion, yeah? And so, Father, as we clear our hearts and our minds, Father, readying ourselves to be prepared for the elements, Father, we just pray that you will continue to move and work in us. Father, forgive us of those sins that we're aware of, those that we're unaware of, Father. And Father, as we think about the intimacy that you desire from your people, Father, the deliberate effort that we need to put forth. And so, Father, as we give ourselves to you, Father, we just pray that you will have your way. Work in us and through us and bless us in a special way, Father, so that we can be a blessing to others. So, Father, thank you for our time together today, and we just pray that you will continue to renew us day in and day out, as your word says. And, Father, may we always look for a way to be a blessing to others. But just like the prayer that John prayed, Father, so that others will know you like I know you. Father, I know you don't want anybody left out, and I sure don't want anybody left out. But a day is coming. And so, Father, if we look to you and for ways that we can be a utensil used by you to reach the lost lives of others, open our eyes to that, Father, and have your way. So we thank you and we praise you, Father. We ask all this in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Well, Tracy's going to come up and help me with this real quick. And if you remember how the Bible describes it, Jesus was with his disciples, and he takes the bread and he gives thanks for it and says, this is my body broken for you. As often as you eat, do it in remembrance of me. And likewise, he took the cup and he gave thanks. And he says, this is the blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for the forgiveness of sins. As often as you drink, do it in remembrance of me. Amen. And so we've got a song to play. And whenever you are ready to receive the elements, I'll take this one. When you're ready to receive the elements, just come forward. Marcus, if you'll turn that down a little bit, and then we'll just finish out with singing the remainder of this song when we're finished.
Some love, oh, depths and deeps, when fears are stilled, when striving cease, my comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ I stand. In Christ alone, who took on flesh, fullness of God in helpless babe, this gift of love and righteousness, scorned by the ones he came to save, till on that cross as Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied, for every sin was laid here in the death of Christ. I live.
Stand with me as we sing out.